Ladies and gentlemen, let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. Thumbs up over here. How to hope, not how to have hope, but how to hope. More and more people are depressed, even Christians today, because they have lost hope, or they choose not to hope. They don't do what they should do to have hope. How to hope, lessons from the Israelites and their messianic expectation, part 18. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs, they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the little g-gods of Egypt, the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ And as I am reading your holy word, so many thoughts are coming to my mind. Some, I believe, are from you, and I know they are from you. But on this Saturday evening, after such a long but wonderful trip, the devil is busy as well, trying to distract me from the preaching of your holy word. And so, Holy Father God, I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for what you have done this past week and what you have done particularly over the past few days. And Lord, all I can say is thank you. And I pray that everybody in our family and everybody in our ministry would say thank you and give you all of the glory, praise, and honor. And thank you for hearing and answering all of our prayers down through the years. And tonight, Lord, we individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you as even people who are believers. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of all of our sins as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us all, and fill us all afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. No matter how tired some of us may feel, no matter what is happening, we pray for your fresh unction and anointing and the power, the freedom, and the liberty of your Holy Spirit. For Lord, we understand from your word that all men do not have faith, all people don't have faith, and we're surrounded by people like that who don't believe in you as they should. And we pray for them. We pray that you'll help them to believe in you and to trust in you. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit as you have done in the past. And Lord, we thank you for this strange feeling of weakness that is allowed in our lives before we serve you. I don't know how you do it all, and I don't know what you do, but I do know that when we feel that way, you show up, and you always show up, and as we say as human beings, you show out. You surprise preachers, for they'll have a message they concocted already, set and written and printed out and ready to be delivered. And then all of a sudden, they, and I'm included, will read one verse or one word and then go off into a whole different direction by your grace and by your power. So, Lord, we give you the glory, praise, and honor. We pray now tonight that you would help us to be prayerful, for we're in a dangerous situation here, considering all of the things colliding together, lack of sleep, just coming back from a long trip, the devil constantly fighting us on the weekends, always, and other issues that we have to deal with and face. We have to deal with Judases and liars and hypocrites and phonies and people who are trying to hinder your work, false brethren, sad to say, even enemies in your own family. And I know that we don't like to hear that today in our society, but you spoke about it, that our greatest enemies will be they of our own household. And I believe that is the case for every Bible-believing preacher and servant of the Lord. And we can learn so much from that at the same time. And we can gain so much strength to fight on from having enemies even in our own family. So we praise you for that, and we thank you for that. We pray now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal, and sabotage from this work and this ministry. And Lord, I thank you for revealing to me some important things. And Lord, we pray that lost souls would be saved and Christians would be revived and your holy name glorified. We cast all of our care upon you because, Lord, we know that you care for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you may be seated. It's so good to be back. And we thank God for his mercy, love, and grace. And may I encourage you to continue to pray without ceasing, for therein lies the power. How to hope. Lessons from the Israelites and their Messianic expectation, part 18. Dr. John MacArthur said of the 46 Old Testament prophets, less than 10 of them speak of his first coming, that is Jesus Christ. 36 of them speak of his second coming. There are over 1,500 Old Testament passages that refer in some way to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. One out of every 25 New Testament verses. I said one out of 25 New Testament verses directly refers to the second coming of Jesus Christ. For every time the Bible mentions the first coming of Christ, it mentions the second coming 8 times. For each time the atonement is mentioned, once, the second coming is mentioned twice. Jesus Christ refers to his second coming 21 times, and over 50 times we are told to be ready for his return. The program that God has laid out for the nations, for Israel, for the church, all demands the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you expecting him to return? Do you have hope? Have you lost the blessed hope of the second coming of Christ? Now, beloved, in our last message, we looked at the significance of the Passover for the Israelites and how it gave them hope for future permanent national deliverance. But the Passover gives a reason to hope, not only for the Israelites, but real hope for Christian believers today as well, because the Messiah has come the first time. Because in the ritual of the Passover, we can see historical fulfillment. Let's take the lamb. Moses instructed the Israelites to take a male lamb of the first year. Thank you, Lord, for what you're putting in my mind. Some of you are wondering about the bald head. Some of you are wondering about the bald head. Why does he have a bald head tonight? And some of you people who like to speculate, I hope he doesn't have cancer. No, I am in solidarity with somebody who just went through a difficult time and difficult training, and I do things like that every now and then. This is, however, my first and my last bald head. I can assure you that, because I love my white locks very much, and I have earned them, and I thank God for my white hair. Be that as it may, back to the message. The lamb had to be without spot or blemish. And oh yeah, and I want to tell you this, always remember what happened to those kids who were messing with the prophet about his bald head. If you sitting down joking me about my bald head, just remember what happened to those kids when they messed with the man of God about his bald head. Go ye up, bald head. Go ye up, bald head, or whatever they said. Anyway, the lamb had to be without spot or blemish, because the lamb represented innocence and purity. It was precious to its owners. Now, the Israelites were not innocent or pure. Now, you must understand, now, to sacrifice a lamb, that cost them something. It was very precious to that family. Yes, they were God's chosen people, but they were still sinners, and they are still sinners today. Very much so. Epstein is a Jew. The guy who's getting ready to go on trial is a Jew. Very gifted people. Some Jews can think up how to get $1 million in 1 minute, when it takes most people a lifetime to get $1 million. They're just gifted people, chosen, God's chosen people, but they're sinners. They're still sinners. They were just as deserving of death as the Egyptians. For death comes equally for all people. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And when God swept through the land, he would not spare any house that did not have the blood. The firstborn of every family in Egypt, Egyptian or otherwise, would die. if he did not see the blood. That was the plan. But God intervened in his own plan. He wanted to spare his people. He wanted to show them mercy and grace. So as the Israelites literally sat in the shadow of death, God told them to take an innocent creature, one that had done no wrong, pure. He said, kill it and put the blood over the doorposts of your houses. Now you can imagine these folks being, as the young people say, freaked out. What? What is this, man? In fact, that was the first thing they were to do after killing the lamb. Not prepare it, like so many of us would have gone to do. All right, let's get the grill out. Not cook it. Not have a barbecue. Not eat it. But first things first. But put the blood over the doorposts of their houses in the shape of a cross, by the way. And everyone who was in the house, everyone who was under the blood would be spared when the Lord passed over that house, because he saw the blood. He didn't see somebody outside waving. He didn't see a cute little cherubic girl looking out the window saying hi, waving her hand. Nor a man out on the porch pleading. No, just stay inside. All I need to see is the blood. I don't need to see you. Because if you don't have the blood, you're going to die. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been born again? All God wants to see is the blood. The blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. You can imagine that the Israelites were desperate in the following of these instructions. They didn't know it at the time, but the slaying of lambs would become a way of life for their nation. The blood of lambs, the blood of goats, and oxen and pigeons would be spilled repeatedly as payment for the sins of the people. This was an object lesson also, if you will, to prepare the Israelites, the chosen people of God in the world, for the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who took away the sin of the world for everybody. Again and again, God ought to have brought death. But when he saw the blood, he passed over. And I hope to God you have the blood of Jesus on your life. I hope that you have trusted Christ as Savior. Because that's all God wants to see, is the blood of his Son. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you been saved? The rivers of blood, the streams of blood that flowed from the altar of Israel, pointed forward to the tidal wave, the ocean that would be the shed blood of the Lamb of God. who came to take away the sins of the whole world once and for all. And that includes you, and that includes me. There are no big I's and little U's when it comes to this, my dear friend. You got to have the blood of Jesus. And one songwriter read back and wrote a beautiful song and said, the blood shall never lose its power. It is available to you tonight. It still is available. As the close of the world comes upon us, and if you don't think things are wrapping up, you are deluded. You have been bamboozled. You have been deceived. Jesus is coming back, and you need to be ready. Jesus' blood is placed across the doorposts of the world, and all who enter through the doorposts will be spared when judgment falls. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and for mine. He suffered, he bled, and he died a horrific death for you and for me. The Lamb of God took away your sins and mine. God. I know some folks hate for me to say, but God died. God loved you so much. God loved you so much. God. Lord, have mercy. God himself came down off the throne and died for your sin, suffered, was humiliated before sinners. He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God wrapped in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, stretched out his arms and died a cruel, humiliating death before the world, bearing the shame for you, wicked sinner, and for me, another wicked sinner. I'm just, as the old preachers used to say, I'm just a beggar telling other beggars where the bread is, man. I'm no better than you. I was just called to do this. I didn't want to do this. The last thing on earth I wanted to do was preach. I hated my dad, who was a preacher. My mother was a preacher too. I was sick of preachers, man, and sick of preaching, sick of church. But then I met Jesus. And as the young evangelist, who I believe is the next Billy Graham, says, when you meet Jesus, everything changes. And I believe that. For believers today, it may seem like we will be swallowed up by a world that careens further and further away from God. But if God arranged for the Israelites to be delivered from the worst of the plagues of Egypt, we can trust that God has arranged for us to be delivered from the worst of the judgments that are to come on this world. The rapture comes before the great tribulation, before the worst of earth's days come to pass. It will literally be hell on earth, man. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. The great tribulation period is coming. The dead in Christ will rise. Those who are alive and remain will be called up to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Are you ready? Do you know him as your Savior? If you don't, trust in Christ tonight. This may be the last gospel message you hear. You must understand, most people in the church are not witnessing to you. Many don't care about you as they should. They care about themselves and their families, sad to say. I know folks don't want me to say it, but it's true. Because if we really cared for lost people, we would tell people every day about Jesus Christ. We will tell the old, old story. We'll pass out gospel tracts like as we did today. We'll do something for the kingdom so that others could be saved. Charles Wesley said, "Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver. Born a child and yet a king. Born to reign in us forever. Now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne." Let's stand for prayer. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for the precious and shed blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the blood that was shed on the cross for our sins. Thank you, Lord God in heaven, for what you have done for us, because somehow you still love us. And we are unlovable. We don't even love ourselves as we should. And we certainly don't love each other. But by your grace, by your might, and by your love, you still love us so much. You sent your Son, Jesus, to suffer, to bleed, and to die on the cross for our sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, have mercy and grace upon us as Christians. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins of losing heart, losing faith, not having that blessed hope in our hearts uppermost as it used to be of your second coming. There was a time when some of us, when we first got saved, we were looking at the eastern sky all day long waiting for you to come. We were so excited about your second coming, and some of us now are so wicked and so evil and so compromised with the world that some want to stay right where they are, in Egypt. And so, Holy Father God, help us all who are Christians to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways, to humble ourselves, to get back to you, our first love, and to let go of the world, let go of the prosperity gospel, let go of the materialism, let go of the ill-gotten gains, and confess our sins and repent and turn from our evil ways and start loving you again and serving you again and serving others again. Help us, Lord, by your grace to keep hope alive, the blessed hope. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Now, dear friends, in light of what I have shared with you tonight, and if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I urge you to trust in him, because he is coming again, and you do not want to be left behind. Here's how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and the consequences of sin. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, today, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, hell is bad news. A lake of fire, the lake of fire, is bad news. Whatever you do, don't go there. But I have some good news for you tonight, how that you can escape what you deserve, to burn forever in hell. I know you may not believe that, but you believe that there's a heaven, and God is the one who talked about that. Jesus is the one who talked about that. And now Jesus is talking about hell. You need to believe that as well. There's a heaven and there's a hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "So that you can be delivered from hell, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That's your ticket out of hell into heaven. What a flight. Take advantage of it tonight. Just believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved is a good word. It means that you're safe. You have been rescued from a very bad situation, and hell is the worst situation in the universe, my dear friend. And there are people in hell right now wishing that they can come back and witness to you and tell you not to come to hell. There's one man, Mr. Davies, in hell tonight, according to Luke 16. He became a missionary in hell. He wanted to come back from hell, or rather send Lazarus to his brothers and tell them to get saved and not come to hell. Hell is a bad place, dear friend. And I want to serve notice on you as lovingly as I can. People are going to hell. People in church are going to hell. People who have not trusted Christ as Savior and gained the power of the Holy Spirit through Christ to repent of sins and turn away from adultery and fornication and pride and homosexuality and many other sins, lying that we mentioned earlier. They're going to hell. you're going to hell if you don't trust Christ as Savior. Nobody's trying to scare you, but I'm going to bring everything that the Bible tells me to bring to you to help you make the right decision. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. You're saying, come on, Mama, let's go. Let's get saved. She's moving slow. You need to leave her. That's how serious it is. Come on, husband, let's get saved. He's not shaking his head, no, and you need to leave him, not leave the marriage, but come to Jesus. Stay in the marriage, but come to Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. If you're ready to do that tonight, and that's all you have to do, there's nothing hard about it. Why would God make salvation difficult for such ignorant and sinful people as we are? He made it easy, contrary to what some preachers will tell you. It was not easy for God, it was not easy for Jesus, but he made it easy for us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right now, tonight, in your heart, and you shall be saved. Pray and ask him to save your soul. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're willing to do that tonight, follow me in prayer, and I will lead you in the sinner's prayer. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. As I now receive you, fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of all of my sins past. Help me to turn from my old evil life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. It's not going to always be about the feelings and the emotions. I've seen people cry when they pray that prayer. I've seen people smile. I've seen people shout when they pray that prayer. I've seen people say they feel like they're relieved of a burden. Pressure has been released, and on. Some have happiness, tears of joy, and laughter, and so I've seen so many reactions. That's all wonderful, but you're not going to always feel great as a Christian, but you're still saved because you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you prayed and asked him to save your soul. So welcome, dear friend, to the family of God. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer.